Heading to CBC? Make sure to stop by booth 1989 to chat with the Brewbound team, check out our live podcast recordings, and find out about Brewbound's upcoming events. Have news to submit ahead of the show? Head to brewbound.com/submitnews to let us know about your latest updates.
This is Justin Kendall with the Brewbound Podcast. We are pivoting away from our regular schedule to focus on how the beer industry is adjusting to the COVID-19 crisis. We'll be bringing you these stories as fast as we can get them posted, and hopefully we'll return to our regular schedule of podcasts in the near future, although that, like everything, is uncertain. So stay safe, everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Brewbound's continuing coverage of how the beer industry is adjusting to the impact of the novel coronavirus disease, COVID-19. My name is Justin Kendall, and I am the editor of Brewbound, and I am still in my 455 square foot studio apartment in Massachusetts. It's casual Friday, as you can see from my Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt here in the Brewbound studio apartment, and I'm joined by Jeff Heck. He is one of the co-founders of Atlanta's Monday Night Brewing Company. Jeff, how are you hanging in there?
You know, we're hanging in there. It's been a really rough couple weeks, but we have moved, I think, really quickly to try and do our best to adapt to this really uncertain time. So lots of hard decisions, you know, in some ways, there's a way in which this is a reminder of how important it is to be on top of your business and take care of people along the way, while also making the right decisions for the business. So, you know, it's with the world changing every day, there's a different challenge and a different problem to solve every day. So at least I'm staying busy.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to jump in with you, because I know you guys have had to make some hard decisions. Everyone's had to make some hard decisions over the last couple of weeks, at least. And I want you to walk us through some of those tough decisions that you've had to make.
Sure. Well, I'll start with just kind of the overview of like what's happened to our business, because I think our decisions have been in response to that. So about early last week, we closed our tap rooms right before kind of there was a citywide in Atlanta mandate to do so. And so all bars and restaurants are closed in Georgia, which is our largest market. And then our tap rooms are closed. We have two tap rooms in the city of Atlanta. We're fortunate. We did last year about a little over 20,000 barrels of production. So we have a nice large wholesale business in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. And fortunately, we're able to continue manufacturing, though with a lot stricter safety protocols and a slimmed down crew. So when we closed our tap rooms, we had to furlough all of our taproom employees, because the tap rooms are really a great source of income for us to fund other parts of the business. We also had to furlough some folks on our sales and marketing teams and let a couple people go. So it's been a hard week. We've lost about probably around 55% of our revenue was really gone overnight from between our tap rooms and our on-premise business. The interesting thing has been we have been able to launch a to-go program here at the brewery. So it's drive-through only with a lot of really significant safety protocols. And we've just seen a really great outpouring of folks coming out and trying to support their local breweries. We've also completely shifted our packaging mix over to cans because we are seeing a nice surge in grocery business, and we're fortunate to have a strong presence in grocery.
How difficult is it to sort of maintain supply at this time?
Yeah, it's interesting. We haven't personally been impacted by much, but the reality is it only takes one thing to really inhibit your ability to put together a finished product. So if you have everything but can lids, then you're not canning any beer. If you have everything except for, you know, boxes, you're not sending out sampler packs. So fortunately, so far we've been able to be in a good position there. I do worry. I think this is going to be really hard because the longer this drags out, and the more a supply shifts in something like cans over in the economy in general, the harder it's going to be to secure that inventory. And also, this is happening at a time when a lot of suppliers are really short on cash. So there's a real tension between wanting to sort of stock up on materials, but also recognizing you have to be incredibly conservative with your cash right now.
Malt Europe Malting Company is North American proud with premium grains from field to flavor. Our selections include base, specialty, and distillers malt varieties. Stop by our booth, 2143, at the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. Does your brewing software suck? We've heard it from thousands of brewers. Connect with Ollie today, and we'll buy out your current contract and hook you up with brewing software that doesn't suck. Visit booth 1685 at CBC or hit getollie.com/pod.
So you've had to make a lot of adjustments. It's not an easy question, but how long are you able to sort of operate under the current circumstances?
Yeah, you know, it's just so hard to say. I think because we took so many steps so quickly, and we're fortunate to have a strong off-premise business, I think if we continue to see the kinds of things there are things we can do to continue to weather this. And that's our goal right now. And I think that should be every brewery's goal right now, is to survive. And if you're not already in survival mode, you're weeks behind. I would personally, I've been surprised at how little I've heard from other breweries talking publicly about how challenging this is and how destructive it's going to be for the industry. I wish that more people were talking about it. Maybe we're overreacting, but I just have a really hard time believing that's the case. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but if I had to put like an over under on how many breweries of our 8,000 are left in 12 months, I mean, I would be surprised if it's more than 5,000 that are still remaining. So I think we all as an industry have to take this really seriously, look for ways to help each other out.
3,000 breweries, that's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. How many breweries right now of those 8,000 rely exclusively on on-premise sales, or almost exclusively? I mean, the restaurant landscape is going to be completely different. The bar landscape is going to be completely different. And so, I think anyone who knows who has a crystal ball to sort of say what they think the world looks like on the other time is probably a little crazy. But I'm kind of doing it anyway, just to sort of make a point. Which is that I think that this is going to be, this really completely changed the landscape of really the hospitality business.
Why do you think there was such a lack of preparedness for an event like this?
Well, I think it's a couple things. I mean, one is, you know, small business owners generally are scrappy, and they're really willing to take risks, right? So, I mean, that's one of the things you absolutely have to do if you want to start a business, is you've got to be willing to take some crazy risks. And certainly one of the risks you think about is not, what if the state shuts down all bars and restaurants indefinitely? Like, you just can't ever, I don't think you can solve for that. But I do think the ones that will be able to come out are the ones that have a combination of kind of being in the right place at the right time, like having a good mix of business that allows them to stay in business. And the ones who are just super scrappy and survive smart, which is kind of how do you find the cash that you need as soon as possible, but also cut costs immediately, but find ways to keep great people in the right roles, communicate with your wholesalers, your retailers, your customers, and get creative with revenue. So I think entrepreneurs are scrappy. And so this is kind of a time to put back on, if you've gotten a little bit larger like we have, let's roll up our sleeves and get our entrepreneur hats on again and go figure out how to make it through this.
For lack of a better term, when was the oh shit moment for you when you really realized that this was a serious moment?
For us, it was probably about 2 weeks ago, once we saw things getting worse in New York and had started climbing over about 100 cases or so in Georgia, and started hearing confirmation of, you know, there was a death in Atlanta. And at that point, I'd been reading enough about the virus and how quickly it's sort of, once you have community spread, how quickly that happens, that we started getting really nervous. So it was the following Monday evening, we made the decision to close our tap rooms. And then Tuesday, that went into effect and we had to furlough folks.
So I guess, what have you been hearing from retailers?
Yeah, it's a really mixed bag. There are bars and restaurants are in a really tough spot. Their businesses are in our community, or and for most of the territories where we distribute, are in a really, really rough shape. So there's nothing going on there. And then on the off-premise side, liquor stores and convenience stores and grocery, for the most part, have been beneficiaries of this, interestingly. So I think the real question is where that settles out. I think it's too early to really tell, because there's this sort of initial surge of people kind of either wanting to stock up, or they haven't realized that they're going to get laid off yet. I mean, the other thing that I think will impact it long term is the economic fallout. And if we go into a recession, that's going to change consumer purchasing habits over time as well.
I wonder what that does, obviously, to premium and craft products, because those go at higher margins, higher price points. And so does this lead to a regression to economy style brands, or just even cheaper brands, or even tried and true brands, where there's not going to be this willingness among a consumer or among the consumers to try new?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the landscape looks different and there are fewer brands out there, there probably is some opportunity for brands that are still around. I think quality is always a component of value. It's price, but it's also value. And so the good news for beer is we're not a $75 bottle of wine, right? Even at a $16 four pack. But I do think there's absolutely risk to that. I think the other benefit is for breweries that do have own premise sales like us. I think there's going to be a big opportunity coming out of this too. There's going to be a deep desire for people to reconnect with folks and have an experience that still, you know, I can rock in and out for $12, not much more than I pay for going to Wendy's.
Well, and there's another piece to this that I think we're all wondering about is what's normal look like when we get on the other side of this. Are people going to be willing to go back to tap rooms, or how many of the people will be willing to go back to tap rooms or restaurants or bars? You know, like, is it going to be a slow integration, you know, before we're all comfortable again? Or is it going to be something like, you know, spring hits and people, or summer, whoever knows when this ends? Yeah, yeah. Or fall. And we're all sick of being, you know, hermits, and we go back out.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I think that's part of the challenge in terms of figuring out how would we staff back up if and when our tap rooms reopen, which I fully expect will happen at some point. But do you plan on 50% less revenue, or do you plan on 50% more revenue because everybody's been cooped up? I think regardless, we have an obligation as providing space to people and members of our community to do a few things. One is to create jobs as soon as we can and bring our people back to work when we can. But two is to make it a safe place for our guests and for our employees, first and foremost for our team and then for our guests. And so I think that one expectation I have is that the safety expectations, cleanliness expectations, both for employees and guests, is going to change. I think there's going to be a cohort of people that are going to be like, thank God we're done with this. Let's get out of the house and roar back. And I think initially we'll probably see a small group of people like that. And then we've got to be careful for them. We're probably going to be the ones having to police that a little bit. And then over time, I think we probably will get back to an environment where, you know, people just, you know, they want to make sure the tables are spaced out far enough apart. The table gets wiped down between service, that the, you know, the bartender's wearing gloves. So, but, you know, we don't know. We just have to be prepared for a number of different possible outcomes at the end of this.
Yeah. And I know that you've meticulously planned Monday night's future. And I just got to ask, you know, how have the last 2 weeks changed that? I mean, you've probably got 3, 5, 10-year plans. Like, how have those been altered?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways, when you hit a moment like this, you basically put everything on the shelf except for what's right in front of you. And I think we've acknowledged, like, the world's going to look different in 6 months at the end of or whenever the real end of this is. And our job is to be on the other side, to survive on the other side, and to be well positioned, you know, to be one of those breweries that remains open, and then to be in a position where we've got good people in the right roles, where we've built solid relationships with our wholesalers and retailers and customers, where we've been creative with how to grow revenue, and hopefully try to have as much financial reserve in the leftover to be able to take advantage of opportunities on the other side. So I think we're going to have some significant new strategic planning sessions that will happen at Monday night over the next few months. But right now, it's just, I think everybody should be in survival mode.
Yeah. Well, and one of those plans was to open a tap room in Alabama. How has that affected those plans?
Yeah, so we're still moving forward there. Our landlord's still working on construction there until Birmingham was shut down under the shelter in place this week. So I think the real question there is when that actually would open. Fortunately, we haven't done any real hiring there yet. And so, you know, we have invested some money, but not to the point where we're overly concerned about getting that across the finish line. And we're working closely with our landlord to figure out what the right thing to do is there.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap this up, I know you're taking this super seriously. And I know that I share a lot of the same concerns that you do about, you know, the way people are addressing this, or at least approaching this event. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a crisis. and it's affecting everyone, whether they are willing to admit it or not. So I guess, what piece of advice would you give people who are obviously in the same position as you right now?
Yeah, I think two big things. I mean, one is take this seriously because of the health and safety of your people and your community. And I think we have a really strong role to play in our communities as businesses that care about people. People care about a lot about us, and we need to do the same. So, you know, we closed our tap rooms before we were really required to do so. And I think everybody needs to take seriously the obligation we have to care for our communities and our people. And then the second thing I would do is just get in front of your bank, get in front of your wholesaler, get in front of your customers, and then get in a spreadsheet and figure out what your cash situation looks like. Ask for help where you need it. Talk to your accountant. There are resources out there to help do that. But I mean, every single person in this industry right now should be, you know, figuring out where they stand from a cash flow perspective and do everything they can to get through, I think, months, not weeks.
I think that's great advice. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Justin. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to the Brewbound podcast. Find the Brewbound podcast on all major platforms. Stay tuned for additional coverage of the COVID-19 crisis and how the beer industry is adjusting. And we'll be bringing you those stories, like I said, in the coming days. Feel free to reach out at podcast@brewbound.com. That's podcast@brewbound.com. And let us know how you're doing. We look forward to hearing from you.